What is up, glorious humans of the internet? Chad, Andy, and Steve back at you for another week of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. And how's the week been, gentlemen?
Good.
All good? Nothing out of the ordinary. Just no. Life.
Just life.
Yeah. Back into the routine, I guess.
Easing back in to 2019. Anyways,
yeah. So it's back rocking and rolling.
You're back, yeah, back rocking and rolling. There's a wheelchair joke in there somewhere, but I won't. But I'm cheesy enough, so I won't go there.
Steven?
Yeah.
Stefan?
I never left work, so.
You never just lived there. You just had your Christmas at work.
Kind of, yeah.
You were doing inventory, right?
Yeah, we did inventory, which means we audited a lot of counting, so I had to go in with sandals. To count to 20.
What?
Go in fingers and toes.
Oh, I get it. Sandals. I was like, why do you gotta wear sandals to work? I did not. I've had a long day. my brain has shut off.
Fingers and toes.
I was just not. It's not happening.
So I could only count to 20.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Which means we shut down for a week, and then we're actually really slow, but. Which means we can reorganize everything, which is really good.
Yay! Yeah. Is that your New Year's resolution to reorganize work?
No. No.
No, not at all.
I don't do
that. Yeah, we said that previously. You are not a resolving for New Year's type guy.
No, I resolve for resolve's sake.
Are the kids crazy when they come back?
No, students are good. I mean, it's chaos around high school this time of year, getting ready for exams. I teach a lot of grade 9s this semester. I got two of my classes are grade 9 classes.
When does the semester turn over?
First week of February.
So this coming
week is exam week.
How do you do that?
What's that?
Like, is it just singing?
No, oh, for music. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. You just meant for a music exam. No, we do our performance. This week, my students are in the middle of their performance exams on their instruments. So I'm teaching instrumental music right now, where the students are largely learning how to play instruments for the first time. In our Catholic elementary school system, they usually don't have instruments put in their hands. So usually the first time they have a band instrument in their hand is ninth grade. So I'm teaching kids how to play clarinets and saxophones and flutes and trumpets.
Recorders?
No, recorders are evil. Anyway, so our students right now are getting ready for, they're actually in the middle of it. This week we're in the middle of our performance exam, which is 20% of their overall mark. So it's a big deal for them, especially.
Do you have to have, do you have to be able to hear the notes?
I mean, it might be an idea.
Like, or is it via a microphone into a computer to make sure that they're playing the right notes?
Oh, no, yeah, I have a good reference of pitch, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know whether they're playing the right notes.
Well, I was going to ask you, man, how do you tell somebody they suck?
That's a great question.
That's why I never did it.
That's a great question.
Because you can't do that, right?
No, I cannot. I wish I could sometimes.
What do you say? Like, this is just not for you?
No, listen.
You should try something else. Maybe you should be a woodworker.
Well, first of all, there's absolute truth in that we are all uniquely gifted and talented. And the kids just have to find what they're good at. And sometimes it's not music. The last thing that I want to do, though, is squash music for a kid. Mm-hmm. I've seen my fair share of bad music teachers that just suck the joy out of everything. And priority for me is, I mean, I always tell my kids, if my class is not the most fun class you have all day, then I'm not doing my job. But yeah, no, there's definitely a conversation.
We have to talk about your priorities. I don't want to date.
Yes, Steve. We're gonna do a whole episode later on Steve's priorities.
I'm just fun.
No, your priorities.
Yeah. My priorities. Oh.
Yeah.
Music, in terms of fun. Funnest
class.
My goal is not to educate you. It's to make sure your class, my class, is the funnest.
No, but I mean, they should be having fun in my class and hopefully learning a few things along the way. There is something to be said, though, about those kids that, you know, I mean, the kids all take it for different reasons.
Because it's easy.
Well, there is, and you said it, there is the misconception or the maybe it's not a misconception. There is the, you know, music is seen as an easy credit, and it can be. I always am trying to encourage participation, and I always tell, and the joy of, well, one of the realities of the job is that my students largely don't have a music background, so that's comforting for them. They come in thinking that they're going to be terrible.
So is there also
that's okay.
Is there also the introduction to like different like classical country.
Yeah, we interject. We interject a lot of music. Music history is part of the curriculum, so we interject a lot of our music history through talking points, and we also have them do independent study units on a particular genre or artist that they'll focus on. So whatever they want to draw their focus to.
This is not could be ukulele. Interview.
Yeah.
If I shit the bed on a project, the teachers would stand, I'd have to stand up in front of class and be like, you did horrible, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that was to unique summarize to you. Things. Because when they didn't do that to me.
Well, you were a better student than
me. It's better than if they asked me to stand up. That would have been bad.
But my point is, teaching styles have changed. Societies have changed.
Yeah.
So, You can't tell kids.
But you can, I think, in a different way, right?
And can you fail kids now?
Absolutely.
You can?
100%.
Grade 9 kids?
100%. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Grade 10?
Yes. I mean, every high school grade. 50 is a pass. You need to achieve your 50 to get your 50 credit. 50
now?
Yeah.
Oh.
You need to achieve your 50 to get your credit. Now, I mean, I mentioned that I'm teaching two sections of grade 9. So two-thirds of my students this semester are grade 9s. And that's a big reality for them because they've all wised up to the fact that in our elementary school system, they can't fail. So that's a big,
that's where the jump is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In elementary school, there's...
I loved community college when I went back.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so that's a big thing for the kids to get used to, and it's great. It develops their accountability right away. You know, you have to try in this class. You have to show up and be here and, you know, do your best. So there you go. We'll segue there. Today we want to chat bullying and how it is very real and exists. And it existed when us old men were younger and still very real. Very different forms of it now. I've noticed as an educator, the biggest thing that I see the kids have zero accountability for is the cyberbullying piece. And we're all keyboard warriors. Kids are all so plugged in. They just write these little comments and they don't think that, they think that they're I just meant it as a joke or, you know. And I mean, Snapchat's a whole other story because they think it's gone. There's no proof, right? And,
no, but it lasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Screenshots
and everything else. We just had an awesome presentation.
I had to Google that actually the other day. How to
do it?
Shot.
With an Android?
No, with my computer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Print screen.
All right. So Andy and I are, have you been listening? And again, thanks so much for the support. You can go back and check out all the previous episodes on however you're listening to your podcast. But you've probably figured out, and if you're new to the podcast, just listening to it this week, we should establish very clearly that Andy and I were born with permanent disabilities. Steve has great hair. That's his disability. No, not so much. His beard is his disability.
That's a contradiction.
It is. I know.
You have a great...
Well, it gets stuck in the wind. Oh. It slows me down.
Steve is what the world would call normal, and that's a giant... We won't even go there.
Also Andy's younger brother.
Yes, Andy's younger brother. So your dynamic as kids, we've talked about previously, but let's sort of be real about bullying. Andy, you've had a conversation on previous episodes about what your sort of childhood and school looked like. And I mean, I've lived it on the student end. I see it from the teacher end. Schools are ruthless and can be a ruthless experience for kids sometimes. So what'd you want to say around the bullying aspect?
What did I want to say? Well, like I said, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but... kids suck sometimes, and I know I said previously it wasn't that bad, but I think I just tuned it out. Like, I didn't really care.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a group of friends whose opinions I cared about, and everybody else didn't really matter. And I think that's the point, I guess.
So you then, just to sort of backtrack a bit, the bullying experiences, and you said it in perfect words, kids suck, and they can suck sometimes, and it's, you know, there's a lot around that. But was it elementary school? It was later. It was high school for you, really?
Well, yeah, middle school, high school.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be probably, it's not an exaggeration to say probably once,
do you remember?
Once a week, probably something happened. And
wow.
Like I said, it was always minor stuff, as I said previously, but it didn't really bother me, or I had good enough friends that would take care of situations if needed.
Sure. Steve, you're the little brother. Did you have, was there any instances that you didn't have to stick up for this guy?
No, he actually, we tended not to cross paths in school.
Yeah.
He pretended he didn't know me.
Oh, wow.
That is not
so
true.
So I obliged.
Well, this escalated quickly. We're getting, so this is a family drama podcast.
By not saying hi to him.
Yeah.
His friends, who were like tough guys.
Yeah. Okay. So this is high school by now.
Yeah.
So this
was probably.
So you're great. Were you well protected by like the tough kids, by the
football
kids?
Yeah. He had a crowd of people around him.
Who bullied
other people.
I knew.
fair enough. Speaking of bringing it relevantly back to our topic.
Not really. I mean, we were. I forget. It was probably grade. I don't remember grade 9 or 10 seeing Andy at all at school, because we were in different, obviously different grades. It wasn't a huge school,
We ran in different circles, and it was I bullied a lot? Probably, but I equated it more to the people I hung out with and just...
sorry, I'm...
Just my disability was an easy go-to, right? So, and like I said, I still don't really care what other people think.
At what point, because I know what it looked like for me, at what point did you say screw it and become comfortable in your own skin and just be like, I don't really care what you think because I've got my circle of friends that are solid with me and that's all I need?
It was probably high school, late high school, towards the end.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I see it as an educator now. You're always talking to kids about bullying. And, I mean, sometimes kids think it's bullying and it's just a comment that kids don't even, you know. I think that the world in general needs to build up resilience and be less offended, but that's a whole other issue. I think that there are moments where I'm literally just coaching kids to just believe in themselves and be cool with themselves, because that's all that matters. And I as a parent, my kids are 11, 8, and 3, so then my son's coming home talking to me about bullying that's happening. He's got a boy on the autism spectrum who's his like best friend, and he'll talk to me about the things his friends say about the other guy, you know. And it's, you try to coach that, and it's almost, you can almost... kids either get it or not. You hit that moment where they realize I'm going to be me, and if somebody else doesn't accept that, then I need to move on and realize that's not worth my time.
So what you're saying, what I'm hearing, Ellie, your strategy doesn't change for your students and your kids.
No, I think I'm very like-minded when it comes to my kids. I think I'm a better teacher because I'm a parent, and maybe vice versa. Maybe I'm a better parent because of what I deal with at school. But yeah, I mean, I just try to build that comfort level in students and in your own kids. It's all you could ever want for your own kids, is that they're comfortable in their own skin, whoever they are, and they need to know that we are not all the same, and that's the point, right? Yeah.
So you don't like switch hats from teacher to dad.
Oh, I don't know that you can. I guess you have to at moments. I'm very much, I guess I try and be the same person. The nature of my job too is being a music teacher. We see the same students that take our class multiple years, and I guess you could say that about anybody. But because our classes are elective and there's a smaller pool, we've got a great, you know, 200 kids in our music program. But you develop relationships with kids, and you start to, you know, think of the kids as your own kids. But you want to look out for them no matter what, right? And you see it all the time. And like I said earlier, man, the social media piece and these devices that are in the kids' pockets, it's just so easy now to have access to whoever you want, to say whatever you want, and think that there's no accountability around that, right? That's a whole other piece.
Right. Anybody other than me, were you bullied, Stephen?
Oh, probably.
Probably, yeah, as in you weren't aware of it?
No, I was probably aware of it, but it's out of my head now.
If the roles were reversed, if Steve was the big brother, or Andy, if you could visualize having a younger sibling that had a disability, maybe faced some of the issues that you did, or any person with a disability who's faced those, you could imagine how protective the older sibling would be around the little sibling with a disability. I mean, maybe
I guess, but like even now, like Andy and I, it pops in my head, but it's my brother, right?
Yeah,
it's funny you worded it that way. I think I've told Steve this before. In a lot of ways, He's the big brother, and not age wise. Say brains. Not age wise, but he's just I don't want to say he's more mature than me, but in a lot of instances growing up, he was. And
you learn a lot when you have older brothers and sisters how to get away with stuff.
he's a voice of reason a lot of times. So I don't know if that answered your question of roles being reversed.
But that to say, when we I think Esther and I, my wife, we went over to Andy. We were in the middle of a renovation, and that's when we found out that we were pregnant, or Esther was pregnant. And I told Andy first, and he's like, "Well, we gotta go get a drink." So we went.
Right, it's a typical big brother reaction.
Exactly.
Right there.
So we went out, and we were at a table at this bar. I won't name the name of it.
Well, because you're gonna say something bad about it.
Well, I could name the name of it because I don't go there anymore because the management was horrible.
Okay, so let's not. In case someone from that community is listening.
But anyways,
I might want to get a gig there, wherever it is.
I don't know if they have a stage.
Anyways,
there's two young guys, probably in their late 20s, that were like they were served too much alcohol, but they were having fun, right?
Yeah.
They weren't annoying. I mean, they were a little annoying just because they were so loud, but you just talk with them and have a good time, and then. As they were asked to leave, this guy shows up, doesn't know them, and Andy's back is to them. And Esther, so I see this whole thing unfolding, and he just takes offense to something they say, and they get in a fight, and I'm like, this drunk guy's like about a foot from Andy, and he can't get out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. So I just jumped in the middle, and I was like, uh-oh. I pushed them all that way. Like, the guy wasn't coming after me, but I was like,
I gotta protect Andy.
You took a punch that day. I forgot about that.
You took a punch for your bro?
Not for me.
Oh, so it wasn't unintended. I wasn't trying to get punched for you.
But it wasn't a full on punch because I'm pretty quick with
ninja skills.
Because he wasn't self-defense. Also, he wasn't trying to hit me. He was trying to hit the guy behind me because I jumped in between the two.
Yeah. Oh, did you duck fast enough?
Well, it glanced.
It was a glancing blow. Yeah, it was a glancing blow.
Yeah, and then, I forgot about that. And then I stood up, and I have a pretty big frame. So I stood up, and the guy backed.
Yeah.
Like, he got defensive right away, and I was just like, it's time to go. Right? Like,
well, luckily, Andy is also better, like, quicker when it comes to things like that, too, because I forget what he said. He came over and apologized to me after.
The guy that threw the punch, that accidentally hit you.
Yeah, but because he still got the other guy. He's a big guy.
He tried to apologize, and Steve wasn't having his apologize. I just said,
did you have a bad day at work today?
Yeah. He started, and then the guy got really defensive. Yeah. Why?
Oh, yes. Just typical. Anyways, Andy said, you should probably take... And he had a suit. Andy said, you should probably take your suit off next time.
Before you start throwing punches.
So you can get a bit... And the guy goes, oh, yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm leaving. That's ridiculous. Anyways. So we look out for each other, right?
That's it. You got your bros back and vice versa. Yeah. Cool. All right, so I want to transition a bit. We've talked previously on previous episodes about Andy and mine and Andy's, however you're going to say that, our 20 years in the sport of sledge hockey are close to it. Teammates for a lot of that. We were never really opponents on the same side other than in practice. But I would imagine that for others... Probably for guys on our own team, that you were seen as a bully on the ice, Andy, just because of your playing style. And I mean, it's hockey, so you're going to face that. But I guarantee you, even our own teammates would, if you, to this day, if we got at them over social media or whatever, we asked them a question about your playing style or who was a bully on the ice, they would probably point to you. Matter of fact, I'm one of your best friends, and I thought you were being too rough with me sometimes. I don't want to be in my little bubble, right?
But is that bullying?
Exactly.
I will argue this point.
Yep.
For as long as we talk about it.
And please do. That's what the internet is for.
Yeah. So, anyways, so you're saying I was a bully?
I wouldn't be because I.
You just said you would.
Clarify
your point, please, sir.
I could see how you could be construed that way. Certainly, and I've said this to your face, I've said this on the podcast, if I was your opponent, I would hate to play against you.
Well, that's different than being a bully, I think. But
He's an enforcer, is what...
Oh, definitely in that role.
Is what you would classify him in hockey terms.
So
I would assume. I don't know hockey.
I don't sport.
It's true.
So, okay. Continue.
No, I'm curious that you obviously didn't pursue yourself in that way. Do you think you were perceived that way from opponents?
Well, probably, but was I a jerk? Yep. Was I an ass? Yeah. I don't think I was a bully. Most of the time, if I was getting in fights, I was sticking up for other people.
Yeah.
So, I didn't ever go trying to look for fights. I mean, if you remember when we played in Oshawa, the championship
game. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, and I think it was a round robin playoff, so we had to play Whitby to see where the championship game would be played, and because mm-hmm. they beat us, we had to go to Oshawa.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't play in the round robin game against them. A lot of our guys got pushed around pretty excessively.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I played in the championship game. We won the game. And
that's why we won.
I don't want to say that's why we won, but...
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but...
It definitely changed the dynamics of the game, right?
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
That,
I vividly remember them being a much bigger team. We had some small guys on our team, and they were small in size, and a lot of that having to do with their disability and things like that. And, they would certainly take liberties with our smaller guys. And there was that unwritten rule, that unspoken code, that you don't do that with those guys, right? You hit somebody that's going to hit you back, or that's, you know, literally pick on somebody your own size. Mm-hmm. It was a different game for sure in the championship game.
So, yeah, I that's just one example, right? But did I cross lines? Probably.
Hopefully blue lines.
Yeah, goal lines.
penalty box lines. Was there lines there?
I don't know, man. I love the physical side of hockey, but I also love getting inside guys' heads, right? Because if I could do that from the outside of the game, then I'm already...
From the penalty box.
I'm already a step ahead, right? So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think too, the talking point around that too is that you always did. You were a chirper, hands down, but you would back it up when you had to, if anybody called you out on it or whatever the case may be, right? I watch a lot of hockey, so do you, and I can't stand those guys that are the chirpers that'll skate away or get somebody else to go fight for them, right? Avery? Did you just make a Sean Avery reference? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Isn't that what you did?
No, he said Avery. Was that Avery? No.
Chad, but that would even be better, because I'm pretty sure nothing.
Isn't that what you did? Yeah, that's I think Steve just proved to the internet how long it's been since he's watched hockey. Sean Avery. Shout out to Sean Avery, wherever he is right now.
So anyways, to answer your question, I don't necessarily think I was a bully, but I could see how others would see it that way. So
that's a good answer. Parents, that's right? A very good answer.
It'd be fun.
Do you think there was parents? Yeah. Were there parents watching you going, who's number 7 or 43, depending on what you were wearing?
There definitely were.
Do you want to tell the story about why you picked 43? Because 4 + 3. So Andy for years wore 8 and Andy wore 7. And then we reached a point in our careers where we ordered new jerseys and we got to pick our own numbers. I went off the board and picked 41 for no reason other than it was my favorite number because of a song thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why you picked your number. But
yeah, yeah.
I couldn't have 7.
Yeah.
And I'm very superstitious, so I was very...
Why couldn't you have 7?
Because our organization, they did everything by sizes, so 7 is small.
Yeah,
I'm a bigger guy.
You were not fitting in jersey number 7.
So, anyways, I'm a very superstitious guy when I play sports, and 4 + 3 = 7. So
I'll go with 43. So 52 would have also been a suitable number.
52 is a football number, not a hockey number.
Okay, so 61. 25? All those are off limits. 25 would have worked.
25.
What about 241?
So Andy and I went from wearing 7 and 8 to wearing 41 and 43. So we were never far apart numerically, which was a weird thing. But I imagine there were some parents watching in the stands, maybe, saying, who the heck is 43? No,
definitely were. I remember because I was filming.
So there you go. So yeah, this is Steve's perspective. So Andy was awesome. So hardcore about his game that he would have Steve. Andy's a video guy. We've talked about that before. He's dabbling in video editing and having his company going. So he would send... So Steve, you would video the games. Mm-hmm. And so you saw that. You heard some parents, of that from the stands.
And generally it was parents that didn't understand the game.
Yeah.
Like any parent, mostly.
Yeah, I remember one time... my mom didn't come to a lot of games, but one time... She came to a game, and I ended up getting kicked out. And she was talking. She likes to talk.
Now, was it a 3 minor penalties and you're out, kick out, or was it you did something so deplorable that they kicked you out?
Because
we had that rule in Sledge too, where 3 minor penalties, regardless of the penalty, 3 minors in the same game, and you were
yeah. Checked. To go back, I used to draw penalties, and I would like skate past the penalty box and be like one. To like, you know,
make people, yeah. You were that guy. I forgot about that. That's two. Take one more, just to get him out of the game, right? Yeah.
So, anyways, my mom, I don't remember what it was, but my mom is waiting to help me get off the ice, and one of the parents is just making small talk, and he's from the other team, and he's saying he couldn't understand how. Number 7 is allowed to play. He's such a disrespectful player.
Just a reminder, internet, number 7 was Andy.
Yeah, okay. So my mom's a very timid lady, and so
I cannot see Katie getting confrontational at all with anybody.
Yeah. So anyways, the parent was like, oh, who are you here for? And she's just like, yeah, number 7.
That's fantastic. That's my boy.
Yeah. So,
I'm proud of him.
She told me the story in the car. She's like, I've never been more upset. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you have, but
at your play or at the fact that the parent was calling your play into question? Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're all parents. So you get your back up against the fence, right? It's the, I guess you would say, mama bear syndrome or the whatever. You just don't. That's my kid. Don't be talking about my kid.
Yeah. No. So mom then comes a lot of games after that.
I just can't watch you play. All right, time again for our offside segment. If you've been listening, this is where we just get real about the stuff that makes us laugh. Andy is going to share his. Yesterday, I literally jokingly, said to somebody, my legs work fine. I'm just in it for the parking. And obviously they knew I was joking. We had a chuckle about it. But Andy, your story is about parking, but not such a great sense of humor, I suppose.
Yeah, well, again, I've said previously, I don't like to use accessible spots unless absolutely necessary. Like, if regular spots are very far away, then I will. Mm-hmm. Then I'll use the accessible.
But your preference will always be to park in a close but non-handicap parking space.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to say it, because apparently I don't know how to talk. So,
I think it's apparent.
You were good.
So years ago, me and a friend of mine, we were going to Casino Rama to check out Blue Man Group. And
that really doesn't matter. Blue Man Group.
Really doesn't matter, but we were running tight on time. So we pull into the parking lot, and the attendant comes out. And he said, this lot's pretty full. You have to go to...
The next one.
The next one or whatever. And my buddy was driving, and he said, actually, sir, we have an accessible parking spot, or parking permit, excuse me.
Yeah.
And I see a few spots up there, and the parking attendant steps out of his booth at this point.
Toll booth Willie got out of the toll booth?
Yeah. And says, oh, okay, well, which one of you are disabled? And I said, me, sir, I have mobility issues. I'm pretty sure I even called him sir, but...
Wow, that was so polite.
Yeah, and he walks over to my side of the car, says, roll your window down, please.
And license and registration. You're a parking attendant, sir, not a police officer.
Exactly. So he says, roll the window down. He flashes the his flashlight, like, up and down my body.
Looking for your disability.
Yeah.
Did you roll your pant leg up?
Yeah.
To show him your
disability. Honestly, like, I don't understand. Okay, continue.
So then he goes, no, all those spots are reserved. So.
And did you at that point say yes for handicapped people, which I have a permit to park there?
Yeah. No, I just, I was with BJ, and I started to get worked up, and he was like, we don't have time. We'll find somewhere else to park.
Oh, my goodness. I would have been extra personal for the friend that you speak of as a mutual friend of ours. Yeah. His sister has a disability, so, I mean, he's very firmly connected to you know, to that world, if you will. But, I mean, wow. Okay, so, I mean, there's a lot of talking points there. Yeah. But what does a disability look like?
Is it his job to really care?
Sure.
Right?
Right. Yeah, no, we had the permit. It's
the parking police. The resolution, you guys just said, screw it, and went park somewhere else?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he carry you in then?
No.
Three on his shoulder.
I'm almost positive BJ being BJ, he went and got, like, you know how casinos, public places, they have, like, wheelchairs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so sure.
He went, he's like, just wait here.
And just get you one and wheel you in. Yeah.
So we just...
And wheeled past the guy?
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, my gosh. I can't.
I'm pretty sure. That might be wrong.
I'm visualizing him with his flashlight looking you up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for the disability. I mean, let's be real.
Well, okay. BJ's what?
6'4"
something?
Yeah, a solid 240 pounds. He's not a small guy.
And I'm a big dude, too. Yeah. So, I mean, I get it, but...
I get that. I get that you don't look disabled, if you will, but my question is more of what does disabled look like? What did he expect to find with his flashlight? Do you know what I mean? That's pretty.
Maybe it's
no legs,
right? Yeah. I mean, even then,
he's got legs.
Actually, sir, my legs are on tight. Thank you. That's it. Go back and check that episode.
You could have,
Oh my gosh! Oh man! Yes. So he looked you up and down with his flashlight. Tollbooth Willie gets out of the booth. You know, which would have been hard enough to walk to the other side of the car. Now I look you up and down, and I determine that you are not disabled, and therefore you're abusing your privileges.
Those
to
park are
all here.
Full.
No, those are full. You can't park here. Wow. Man, the world sucks sometimes. Oh, well. Oh, that's it. Maybe he was bullying you, Andy.
Maybe you bullied him in school.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. All right. Anyways. Guys, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Go back, check out all the old episodes if you would. So pleased to do that. We'd love that. Thanks again for listening. Chad, Andy, and Steve saying see you later.